Good evening and welcome in to the Rob Comrade and Kale Show. I am Rob Sanders, your host. Represent the Clemson Tigers on this podcast. I have a couple of co-hosts. We will start with the most hated man on Facebook, and I'm gonna trademark that because people despise the comrade, Mike Dabreski. Mike, good evening, sir.
It's good to be here. It is great to be a Gamecock, and I mean, what else can you say? I mean, Gamecock Nation. Hopefully, have a season this year, and if we do, we're gonna right some wrongs. We're gonna take some names, kick some ass.
You're not kicking any ass.
This year. Well, we are.
Let's go with the third member of our show. He is the bald man from the upstate. He is. I like to think of him as if he were going to wrestle, he would be one of Jim Cornette's guys. I think he was a Jim Cornette guy before that was cool. He is Carolina Jackpot Cale Hall. Cale, what's up, brother?
What's up, man? Thanks for having me. I totally 100% agree with you. I think that if I dropped about 50 pounds and grew my hair out long again, like I used to have it at one time, I could pass for Lover Boy Dennis. So,
do you think you could do a moonsault if you drop 50 pounds? You think you could do a moonsault? Because my money's on you.
I think I could moon somebody. I don't know about doing a moonsault. No, but I yeah, here toughing it out during the podcast tonight, not feeling great. I don't know what happened to me a while ago, but I had eaten dinner at Cracker Barrel, and then I was feeling a little queasy and under the weather. And I went in there about 5 minutes before showtime, and I just puked up my entire supper, all of it. And don't you just hate that when you have a good dinner and you spend like $10-$12 on it and you just throw it up? I mean, it just feels like a waste. I mean, it feels like, you know, I should have just ate a peanut butter sandwich at home.
This is the difference.
I was just going to throw it up.
This is the difference between a Gamecock fan and a Clemson fan. If this was a Clemson fan, they think they should take night off. I'm sick. I can't handle it. Gamecock fans are here regardless. I've done this show with migraines before. With migraines, because that's who I am. Cale Hall puking, that's who he is. You know,
Mike, you,
Rob
you
Sanders
should
has to get a hangnail. Now, I did fall asleep one time. I did pass out one time and didn't make a show in time.
Hold on.
That was
hold
not
on.
My fault.
Hold on. I've never missed a fucking show. Yeah. So let's start with that. And second of all, you should be used to migraines. You get them every month when your period starts.
I do.
So you should be
I get them
on par with this.
I do get migraines a lot.
Yeah, you do.
Not as much as I used to get them. Actually, they're not as much as I used to, knock on wood. But I do get them sometimes, and they can be a bear.
Yeah. All right.
Man, I remember there was times when I got sick at work back in the day when I was managing store for Ingles. I was going ahead and say it now. And I felt bad one day, and I'd gotten a little bit sick, and I sharted in my drawers just by accident, but the show had to go on, and I was the only manager there at the time, so I went back there real quick, pulled them off, threw them in the trash can, got myself cleaned up, washed my hands, and I went back to work, commando, for, you know, till the next manager came in, and I went on home for the day. But I did what I had to do.
You threw your drawers in the trash, right? Instead of hell with those drawers?
Yeah, and I went and I put it way down underneath a bunch of paper towels and stuff because it was like 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So there was like more trash in there because I didn't want to leave them on top and see them there. And like somebody see, like, you know, that they were bigger size and like, I bet that's Kale's underwear, you know, fit his big ass. Because they would probably know that it was mine, you know, that didn't belong to some just like a random toddler or something.
I figured so you would be like Jim Cornette and have your name, your initials embroidered on your drawers. I could see you doing that.
No, I haven't reached that level of prestige yet. But one day, maybe it will happen. We have CJ embroidered in the back of my Fruit of the Loins, but not right now.
All right. Well, thanks for sticking it out, Cale. We appreciate it. Thanks to our patrons of the show. You can become a patron. Go to robincomrade.com. Lawton Swan, Thomas Dana Young, Stacey Hamp, Keith Harrelson, Jamie Phillips, Tabitha Sims, and Robert Knight. You can also, I would like to thank Positive Mike, Lisa Sister Harkins, Jeff Pritchett, Christian Young, Eddie Hicks, Sally Donegan, and Melanie Bookhart. We appreciate them. Let's also Comrade has migraines because he has the cabbage head disease. The head's too big for the stalk.
That's not the why. I will say this though. I did tell a white lie. I've never done this show with a migraine, and I'll tell you why. I could not do this show with a migraine. When I get a migraine, it's over. Like, I have missed. What was it 3 years ago? We're in the Facebook rooms, and Caroline was playing somebody. I forgot. No, I didn't watch. I went to bed. Then my migraine was so bad, I watched the game, and we lost. Shocking. We lost the game.
Oh, where's
Comrade? Where is he? And I was out for, like, you know, those who get migraines, you guys know, if you get them, you can't do anything. It's just, you know.
It's a shit show.
But luckily, I've not had one on a night we did a show, because if we did, trust me, I would not be playing in pain. I'd be like, Rob, I probably wouldn't even text him. I'd probably be out. I have my wife probably text you. Yeah, Mike's gone. He'll see you next time. But luckily, no migraines on the podcast yet. I've had them before, the day before, the day after a podcast, never on the day. So hopefully that does not happen. But those aren't fun.
Those are not fun. You're right about that. Let's thank our sponsors. Callaway's Bar and Grill out in West Columbia, Highway 1, diagonal from the Walmart. Go and get you some good food, good beer. Good people, all at Callaway's, Highway 1, diagonal from the Walmart in West Columbia, callawaysbarandgrill.com. Also, DNC Trucking and Transport, the No Spin Zone segment with the Comrade. Comrade, read away.
It sucks to be a Gamecock. My team is so shitty. Betty Wilson should be allowed to walk me on a leash and tase me during football season. Let's give it up for Will Muschamp. He has gotten my team up number 51 in the recruiting rankings. We may pass Colorado State in the coming weeks. It is utterly shameful to be and disgusting to be a Gamecock. Go Tigers.
That message courtesy of Dennis Wilson, DNC Trucking and Transport. If she does walk you on a leash, we'll make sure that it's got like spikes on it so you can look like the Road Warriors.
Betty loves me. I refuse
Betty,
to believe anything.
Betty fucking hates
me. That says that Betty does not like me. Betty likes me more just like you, Rob.
Real talk, all jokes aside, Betty fucking hates you.
That is not true. I have it on the record that you paid her $20 to make sure she never friends me on Facebook. That's what I have a rumor. I have a source in that. So it's all been rigged. It was all the hatred for me from Betty has been rigged.
Comrade, everybody hates you. Why are you worried about what Betty Wilson thinks?
Not, well, I don't really mind.
Okay. You know, well, then stop it then, you jerk off. All right. Well,
wait, hold on. Lisa Sister Harkins has a question. Does Comrade go commando? Not on a regular basis. I have before. I would probably say about 2% of my days in the world, I've gone commando. 2%. Not a whole lot. Not in a long time either. That hasn't happened in a while. So.
Well, there you go. So we talked about Kale shitting himself and the Comrade going commando. This podcast is off to a rocking start tonight.
Woo!
Yeah, we're on fucking fire.
Another thing that I used to always have a really bad problem with was busting the crotch out of my dress pants. And I mean, that would happen at least once every 6 to 8 weeks. Yeah, I bust the ass out of my pants.
Holy shit, Kale.
And I'd have to put an apron on and go for the rest of the day like that. And it sucked.
Holy shit, Kale. Okay, then.
Yeah.
can we talk about Louisville?
I went through the pants.
Okay.
Yes.
Can we talk about Louisville this evening, sir? Is that cool with you?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, we're going to do some previews of some teams through up until we hopefully get into football season. If you missed the other night, the Tennessee preview was actually really good. Go and check that out. You can obviously download it in the podcast. However you get your favorite podcast, you can find this show. But our thoughts on Tennessee, all right there. So good stuff there. Tonight we're going to do the same thing with Louisville. And when we started last week, we started with what I said was going to be the good, the bad, and the ugly. And that's kind of where I want to go now. Who wants to go with, do you have something good, bad, or ugly for Louisville this season? We'll start with Kale, since he shit himself at work one day.
Okay. The ugly for Louisville is going to be, despite the fact they got seven returning starters on defense last year, they were number 14 as far as in the ACC in allowing touchdown passes. They allowed 31 of them, and they only intercepted seven passes. So they got a lot of work to do there. If they're facing a team that they can throw the ball around a little bit, they might be in a little bit of trouble unless they can make some marked improvement in that defensive secondary, because it is UGLY and it ain't got no alibi.
That's fair. Comrade, do you have a good, bad, or ugly for Louisville?
I have a good for them, and it goes to their coaching. Very much like you're going to see the Gamecocks do this year, Louisville is going against the grain. None of this tempo crap. It is slow the game down and run the football. They have a returning running back. They have they lost one of their best linemen, but they have a bunch of guys back there as well. Great coaching like the Gamecocks do. I like the way Louisville plays because they're going against what all teams are doing now. I don't believe in following the leader. I think when you go ahead and try to play like everybody else does, and you don't have the talent they have, you're going to get killed. So you got to do things a little bit differently. The Gamecocks appear to be doing that with a fullback and Mike Bobo. Louisville did it last year offensively. They were very good offensively running the ball. Their defense was piss poor, as Kale mentioned. But that's what I like about their team, their innovation of the run game, kind of going back a little bit old school in terms of slowing it down, not trying to get 400 plays a game, more about kind of quality over quantity.
Yeah. I agree with that. One of the other things that my thing for Louisville is the transition with the offense. They scored 239 points in 2018 to 430 last year. But the bad has to be that offensive line. They lost Micah Becton. He was drafted by the Jets. That sucks for him. But they lose this guy. The interior of the line is back, but they have questions there. So I like Louisville for the offense. And I think their defense is a work in progress. I do think they have some talent in the linebacking core, but I think the secondary is shitty. All right, so we're going to do our Louisville game by game. Give our picks here for Louisville for the upcoming season. We'll put these up on the website, robincomrade.com. The Tennessee stuff is already up there. SEC Dog, he asked us about our thoughts on the Tennessee-Oklahoma game. Comrade had Tennessee winning that game. Can you tell us about why you picked Tennessee to win over Oklahoma? Because Kale and I weren't on that train.
It's not because I think Tennessee is really good. I just think it's a good matchup maybe early in the year. I think Oklahoma's got some questions early game of the year. It's a road game, but more than likely there'll be no crowd there. So suddenly the home field advantage isn't that much now with no crowd maybe. And I think Tennessee will pull off the upset and get their fans all jacked up and thinking it's 1998 again. And suddenly they'll shit the bed the rest of the year. So I've got Tennessee winning as the way to get their fans excited, only to shit all over them as the year goes on.
Well, there you go. Thanks to SEC Dog for joining us. He catches us every week. How many games do you think are going to be played this season? A comment from Tim Russell there. We'll answer that real quick. I think that I think everybody's going to look at what the NBA does, and they're going to look at what Major League Baseball does. I think from a financial standpoint, I mean, they have to have college football of some sort just for the TV contract. So I think that it's going to be, they're going to get games on the field. I think the Power Five teams will get their schedule in, but I'm not sure about teams from the SoCon and et cetera. But I think we're all in a wait and see mode. Comrade, where are you at on that, man?
Listen, I got yelled at on here back in March because I was kind of being the doom and gloom guy saying I didn't see football season. And I want to be wrong. There's been some optimism the past few months, and now there's a little bit more, you know, not as quite optimism as well. I think it's going to be tough. You know, just speaking in terms of baseball, I think the baseball's going to have some problems too. And for those of you who hate baseball, it's fine. But if you're a college football fan and you hate baseball, I would be paying attention to baseball. Because if Major League Baseball can't get it done, if they can't do it, they're pros and they're making money and it's baseball. Baseball's a socially distant sport. Okay, it's a little bit different than being in a college campus. If baseball can't finish their season, if it gets crazy and a whole team goes down with the virus, you can kiss college football out the door. So,
yeah,
I don't feel great about it. I don't feel great about baseball finishing their season. I keep on telling myself I'm hopeful. I hope I'm wrong, but it's gonna be a weird season regardless. If they play all 12 games, I think playing all 12 games is gonna be a challenge. I think you'll see some schools have to forfeit. I can see that happening where you might have a team play 9 games because three teams in their schedule couldn't field a team that week. That could happen in certain areas of the country. So it's been an interesting season. You know, I tell myself to look forward to the rarity of it all. And I can tell my kids and grandkids one day about 2020 and what happened then. And but it's going to be interesting. But
we'll see how it goes, right?
Yeah, so I'm not positive. I don't feel great.
Kale, what do you think, brother? Your thoughts on that, full season or not?
Yeah, I don't feel good about it. I see it starting on time. But I don't see how you're going to keep people. You're going to keep players and coaches. They can't socially distance themselves and play football. They just can't do it. And I don't see how you're going to keep them from coming down with a lot of cases. And God forbid one of these kids dies or one of these coaches dies. I mean, it's done.
Yeah.
I mean, we're done. So I think it will start on time. where it goes from there, who knows? But I have a feeling there'll be an interruption to the season. You'll see games canceled. You'll see games moved. It's going to be a shit show.
But just watching, sure. I mean, I follow the PGA Tour, okay? And golf, of course, is a pretty safe sport for socially distancing yourself. But, like, in the PGA Tour, you know, this past week, I mean, every week you have a couple of guys who fail a test. Then they have their caddy. They have to back out. And so I'm waiting for it to happen at the PGA Championship, which takes place in a month, I think, in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Like, what happens if, say, Tiger Woods is tied for the lead after Friday and he fails the test, you know? So, I mean, that's just golf. It's individual sports. They're not, you know, whatever. And so it's interesting, man, because, I mean, it's going to – baseball, especially, it's going to come down to which team can stay virus-free or relatively virus-free. You know, talk about injuries, and we always talk about staying healthy. You know, hopefully, you know, you stay healthy. Well, this is another kind of layer on top of that, staying healthy, but also staying virus free. So,
yep. Lots of stuff on the coronavirus, man, and we could do a whole show on it. But I want to talk about Louisville, and not that we're trying to avoid it. We've talked about this before, but let's get to our game-by-game preview here for Louisville. They open up the season September the 2nd at home against NC State. NC State last season, they were a team that dealt with a lot of injuries. you know, Comrade gives me shit about this, but I don't like fucking Dave Dorn. He can eat an asshole.
I love him.
Of course.
I haven't met the guy, but I love that. I think the more I hear about Dave Dorn, the more I like him. I know Dabo hates him, so yeah. Right away I know he's probably a good guy. Because okay, I know well. Dabo's fake as hell.
Dabo's
so
not Dabo fake. Like somebody, you have no, Dabo's fake no as proof hell. For that.
So I know if Dabo doesn't like somebody, that means probably the guy is probably sincere.
I will give you an opportunity to talk here in just a moment. Let me finish, okay?
I love Dave Dorn.
NC State had some issues with defending the run last year. I think Louisville's going to run over them. So give me Louisville to take that game. And by the way, Dave Dorn might be a guy that ends up at South Carolina when you get rid of that shithole coach you've got now. So if they're smart, though, they'll go down a little bit further and go to Wake Forest and get Dave Clawson, who is actually a coach that can develop players and is not a shithead. So there's that. Kale, who do you got with NC State and Louisville, at Louisville?
I'll take Louisville in this one. NC State's got 8 returning starters, it looks like, on offense. But, I mean, really, I don't know if that's a good thing or not, because it looks to me like they're averaging around 20 points a game last year. Quarterback, not very impressive. Skill positions, not very impressive. Defense only returns 4 starters too. I remember at the beginning of the 2017 season, they were supposed to beat somebody's ass by 5 touchdowns.
Yeah.
But ever since then, man, I mean, they've really went downhill, cycling out for sure. Give me Louisville in this game. Easy.
All right. Well, Comrade, who have you got? Louisville or NC State?
I got Louisville winning this game. I'm not by easy, but they'll get the win. They're a better team, better coach. Even though Dave Dorn's probably a great guy, probably a true Christian and a fine man. I think that Satterfield is a better coach.
No probably do it.
Yeah, no probably. Yeah, I'm sure he's a great guy, and I probably, you know, just a kind of a good buddy to have, good friend.
Mm. Is that all you got there, Comrade? I think Comrade froze up on us there for a little bit. So everybody picks. Kale, you could still hear me, right?
He looks like he just saw a ghost.
Yeah, he looks like he saw a ghost. Well, Comrade dropped off there. Hopefully, there you go, Comrade. There you
I'm
go.
Back.
That's
I'm
fine. Back. Yeah, you. But you picked.
I took Louisville
to get the win. Up next, we have got Clemson coming up on the Louisville schedule. They will welcome in if it'll be at Death Valley when they take on the Clemson Tigers. Clemson is a huge favorite in this game, and I think Clemson wins this game pretty easily, to be honest with you. It may be tough for Clemson to kind of get up for it a little bit with nobody there, but I'm taking Clemson to win that game handily over Louisville. Kale, what you got?
Yeah, I mean, I'm taking the Taters to win. You'll score plenty of points against them. Thing is, they like to throw the ball around a little bit. Their quarterback can run around a little bit also. You don't have the secondary that you had last year by any stretch of the imagination. So I think that they will throw for some yards against you guys. I don't think it's going to be quite as easy as you think. That 45-10 loss last year, I think, gets cut about in half this year. But you still get the win there in the mistake by the Blake. Give me Taters.
Yep. All right. Comrade, what you got, man?
Listen, Clemson should win this game, but this is if you're going to pull an upset, you're getting Clemson at the right time, early in the year, okay? We all know that Louisville's defense blows, okay? They're not going to be as bad as last year, just because I don't think it can humanly be that bad. But maybe Clemson early is on the same page. You know, Trevor Lawrence, his line isn't quite there. Receiving core is a little bit different. Now, you know, and maybe they're not quite hitting all cylinders. Maybe Louisville can run the ball, keep them off the field, and get them the ball game late. I think Clemson probably pulls it off. You know, maybe Louisville misses four field goals and inside the 20-yard line, they win that way. But who knows? But I think I can see Louisville getting a little scared of Clemson, a little scary here. I'll take Clemson, but it wouldn't shock me to see the upset here. Upset. What do they call it? Upset alert. What do they call it?
Yeah.
Upset alert.
Yeah.
Go ahead. We need to see some more competitiveness in this game. I'm in the first 3 years that Louisville was in the ACC. This game always came down to the last possession.
Yeah.
Louisville got fucked a couple of times too. Down inside Clemson's 10-yard line. So there's that. Stop it.
I could see Louisville kind of making it a game, going the third quarter, playing Clemson probably pulls away in the end just because of Travis Etienne and the fact that
I give up
Louisville's defense. But I could see Louisville getting a little bit worried.
Well, I want to share something with the fine folks from the podcast here. Last season, Comrade was high as hell on Louisville. Just to give you a sample of what he thought about Louisville last year, just a little sample from the Comrade.
I'm a dumbass, a straight fucking dumbass, a dumb, dumb, dumbass, bitch, I'm a dumbass, a straight fucking dumbass.
All that said, the Gamecocks will cover. If Alinsky plays, we'll win. Yeah. If Jordan 100%, we will. Muschamp's a great coach. He's a great coach, and I think he'll find a way to win this game. I think Florida. I don't think Florida's going to play well. You know what's going to happen? What's going to happen on Sundays? You say, Florida played horrible. They played horrible. I think they're going to play bad. I think Florida's not going to play a good game. Because I think just how it's set up, they're banged up. I think coming off two tough games, road game at noon, Georgia up ahead. I don't think they played their best game. So you're going to say, that's why you fluke again. Another fluke.
I didn't realize referees were stewards. Jesus Christ, I meant some dumb bastards in my time, but you outdo them all.
I'm a dumbass, a straight fucking dumbass. A dumb, dumb, dumbass.
So here's my scenario here. I think talent wise, the guys on Clemson, the guys on Louisville, I think Clemson is 38 points better. Okay. However, I think game day coaching ability, Louisville's got a 21-point edge. In game day coaching ability. IQ,
You really are dumb when you say stuff like that. Go ahead and finish, I'll explain myself.
Clemson's coaching staff is better at putting the money in the bag and hiding it. That's it. Louisville, Satterfield, and staff, they're better at schemes, at attacking Clemson's defense. They're going to score on you guys this week. They're going to score on you guys. They're going to expose you guys a little bit. I think you're going to win, okay? I think you win by about 17 points. Yeah. But here's my thing. If you guys walk in there and have a little bit of a, whatever, Trevor Lawrence doesn't look sharp, or he gets hurt, gets nicked up.
Same shit he said just now.
I could see you guys being in trouble late in the game. And maybe you pulled out again to get lucky, and maybe you have a bad luck go against you. Okay, but I don't think this week's going to help your case. The whole thing that you'll probably still win the game, but you're going to look kind of exposed a little bit. Now, the truth is, Louisville has a really good coach who can coach offense. And so it's going to be, Louisville stinks, which they do, but their offenses are good. And you're gonna have more people, wanting to drop you down. I think, you can have people clamoring for Oklahoma and Wisconsin to jump you and so forth. So you win, I'll say by 14 to 17 points, but if you play bad, you could be in a dogfight in the fourth quarter. And maybe finally, karma will prevail and you'll get beat.
All right,
Louisville plus 22. Easy. Lock.
Okay. All right, so I play that because that's essentially what the Comrade just said about this game. And I knew that's what he was going to say about this game. That's why I had that queued up. By the way, for the people that were paying attention last year, Louisville scored 10 points, even though the comrades said they were going to light Clemson up. And Clemson
won by... I said they were scoring you. Did they
Clemson
score on you?
Won by five fucking touchdowns. Please
I think I said
up.
They would score on you. They did score on you.
Anyway, we all agree Clemson will take the win there. So that's a loss for Louisville. Up next is Murray State.
I remember the image. All everyone I remember for that game is your defensive back Andrew Booth on top of that punching a Louisville player. Really, really classy move there by Tater. You know, they're known for doing classy stuff like that. Hey, at least this one was beating up a guy though. So. Yeah, I got to give him that.
All right. You know what? Since you are sick this evening, Kale, I'm not going to run you through the coals. We'll just go to the next game on the schedule.
That's sweet of you.
I'm a nice guy, man. Shit, what the hell are you talking about? Up next, we've got Louisville plays Murray State. Murray State, the Racers, where I think I've said this on the show before. I almost went to college there on a full theater scholarship. But, I didn't tell you that, comrade.
I think you did.
I got a
full basketball program.
Yeah, very good. Popeye Jones, the ugliest basketball player in the history of men, played at State, but he would get you some rebounds though. Holly wants us to wave at her. Hi, Holly. There you go. Hello, Holly. Anyway, up next for Louisville is Murray State. That's not even going to be remotely close. I wish I could give you something else on that, but I got nothing. Are we all going to agree that they beat Murray State?
Yeah, we'll take that. Tough ACC out of conference schedule there. Good job by them.
Kale, are you on board with that?
Yeah, .50.
.50. They stay in the OVC and play Western Kentucky the following week. The Hilltoppers.
No, that's incorrect.
What?
The Hilltoppers are in Conference USA.
So. Oh, they're in Conference USA now. They used to be in the OVC, so.
Yeah, like 1995.
Western Kentucky, the home of Darren Horn.
The home of Willie Taggart.
Home of Willie Taggart. How about fuck them both? All right, so I think we all agree that Louisville wins there. Syracuse is up next on.
Not so fast. You know, they're predicted to be to finish at number one in their side of Conference USA. They played last year. Louisville only beat them by about 14. I mean, it's not likely. Well, they could get upset.
That's how you become great, Kale. Hang your balls out there. Go with the Hilltoppers, man.
Hang the balls out.
I'm not saying I'm going with the Hilltoppers. I'm just saying it's one that bears watching. You're just ready to sweep it under the rug and go. You got to do a little bit of research here.
I've done plenty of research. This is not South Carolina that we're previewing here, where they have a shit show coach and shit show players.
What the hell does Western Kentucky have to do with? Never mind.
Yeah, whatever.
So we all agree Western Kentucky's going to get them smacked. Up next, they go to Syracuse to play up at Syracuse on October the 3rd. I think this Syracuse team is going to be bad. So I'm going to take Louisville to get the win there. Comrade, who you got?
It pains me. It pains me because Syracuse is the homeland. Okay, family and everything, and I pull for them. I'm not gonna lie to you. I hope they win every game they play this year. But I see Syracuse struggling this year, like we picked it last year. I think that Louisville is gonna kind of gash them to death on the ground and take care of business. So a high score and kind of a game there, but they win by about 20. So take Louisville.
All right, Kale, who do you got?
Yeah, AstroTurf in the dome, and Syracuse with an inexperienced defense coming back, and that probably doesn't look good for them.
Yeah.
I give Louisville a win there to move to 2-1 in the ACC play.
Up next is Boston College. That game is in Chestnut Hill, so it's the second straight week they are on the road, but I think Boston College is a team in transition, and I think that Louisville will get the win there over the Eagles. Kale, who you got? Kale?
You hear me?
Yeah. What you got?
You hear me? Yeah. Second week in a row going up to New England, traveling up even farther north than Syracuse, against a team who returns a decent amount of defensive starters, and their new head coach, Jeff Hatley. Hatley is a defensive guy, former defense coordinator at Ohio State. They got to figure out some pieces offensively. Obviously, it's been their Achilles heel for a while. But 2 weeks in a row, going on the road like that, can be taxing Louisville. While I agree, pretty good offensively. They're not elite. They're just decent. They're okay. I take Boston College and get that upset with here.
Yep. Comrade, who you got?
I'm staying with Louisville. I don't think BC, you know, it wouldn't shock me. If BC beat Louisville here, it wouldn't shock me. But I just don't think that Boston College right. is quite ready to beat Louisville. So I like Louisville a lot. They're my team. They're my sleeper team. So,
Kale, you picked Boston College to get the upset, right?
I did.
Okay, there you go. We're moving on to Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech is another team that
you skipped Florida State.
Oh, did I miss Florida State? My fault.
Florida State next.
Yeah, Florida State's next. My bad. I just didn't have that on my schedule here in front of me. So Florida State, in my opinion, is going to be a team that once again is in transition. New coach coming from Memphis, who's had a really shitty offseason. Lots of turmoil with Florida State. I think Louisville gets the win here. I really do. I think Florida State's going to be a problem here for at least another season, as far as they're going to be a problem, as in they're not going to be very good. So give me Louisville to get the win. Kale, have you got Louisville or Florida State?
Yeah, they're coming off this loss to Boston College. They're going to have an off week to address their problems. I think Florida State, they're going to play better this year. I think that Mike Norvell will take advantage of some of that talent down there. Right. Their offensive line is still a shit hole, though, so that's a problem. Until they get that fixed, they're never gonna push to get back towards the top of the ACC Atlantic. But at home, kind of a revenge spot. You got beat by them last year, and I think Louisville was a better team than Florida State last year. They lost at FSU last year by 11 points. I think that revenge factor plus the fact you've had a week off to rest gives Louisville the edge in this one. Look for them to beat Florida State by a couple of scores here.
Comrade, who you got?
You know, looking at Louisville's schedule, I really think the only team that Louisville is outmatched against is Clemson. I think they can beat everybody else in their schedule. I don't think they will, but I think, you know, if you went by each game and told me Louisville will be FSU, I'd say I could see that. Notre Dame, I could see that, and so forth. That being said, I think Louisville is better than FSU, but I think FSU gets the win here. I think Louisville kind of slips up a little bit. I think FSU plays one of their better games, and FSU pulls one out here to give Louisville one of their losses. So I was trying to look through the schedule and see where I can have Louisville losing some games. And I didn't see many spots, but I'm going to go ahead and take the FSU game as one of those spots they're losing.
All right. Up next is Virginia Tech. Justin Fuente, I don't think he really wants to be there. No Bud Foster anymore. And by the way, they're retiring the lunch pail on the sidelines. That's not going to be there anymore. I think Virginia Tech is going
to
be.
Was that offensive to somebody?
I don't know.
Why did they get rid of it?
They just decided that they gave it to Bud Foster as like a retirement gift. And when he
well, I mean,
it,
he's probably the one that brought it about. So
he is. He's the one who started all of it. So, but I think Virginia Tech is not going to be that great. Give me Louisville to get the win over the Hokies. Kale, who you got?
I disagree with you saying they're not going to be that great. They're going to be great. They're going to be solid. It's a bowl team from last year. Albeit they lost said bowl. They returned 9 starters on offense. They finally found themselves a quarterback. Herndon Hooker, who can do some things and run around a little bit too. Defense has always been their strong suit up there, and they got 10 starters coming back on defense. This is another scenario of Justin Fuente. I think the guy's really got to step up this year, and I think he knows it. He could be out because, quite honestly, Frank Beamer elevated that to, at one time it was an elite job, and now it's kind of, it was kind of an upper echelon job. By the time he had left, it lost some of its elite luster. They want to get back to winning the Coastal more often than not, which they were doing under Frank Beamer. So he's going to have to step it up, or he's going to have to get the hell out. And I think this is the year that he knows we can't be stepping on our goober and losing to Old Dominion and doing stupid stuff like that. And I think they're going to play well, and I think they'll get the win here. I think they beat Louisville.
All right. So you're taking Vatek to get the win. All right.
I'm taking Vatek.
Kale, comrade, who you got?
Well, it's very rare we agree on anything, Rob, but, I feel the same way you do about Fuente. I think their talent-wise are not bad, but I just think that it's a bad kind of relationship of Fuente and the boosters and the fact that he was trying to get out there. And I think it's going to go south pretty quick. I think if they lose early on, it can win those seasons. It's got a hand pretty quick, throwing the whole COVID pandemic mess and all those things. And I think Virginia Tech underachieves this year greatly. So I'm going to go ahead and take Louisville for the win, just on the fact that I think that Virginia Tech won't play up to their actual talent level.
So then we move on from Virginia Tech. We stay in Virginia, and they play the Cavaliers. The Cavaliers, I think, have a good coach in Bronco Mendenhall. But, man, Bryce Perkins was a hell of a quarterback. And I think they're missing some guys in the secondary, too. So it looks like I'm on just this Louisville kick here, but I will take Louisville to get the win. Kale, what you got?
Yeah, I think they bounced back from that Virginia Tech loss, licked their wounds a little bit, go on the road to Virginia and get the win here. Virginia is their permanent crossover opponent from the ACC Coastal.
Right.
And Louisville has played pretty well against them over the years. Last year, getting the win over Virginia, a 28-21, you could have probably classified that as a bit of a mild upset.
Right.
And here, I think that it's not going to be a mild upset. It's going to be expected. They'll probably be favored. I think they go on the road and get the win. But Bronco Mendenhall is a good coach. He might have one down year. They may only win 6 games this year, but believe they will be back. They'll be back, and they'll be back again. One of those 8-9 games. You might see them in ACC championship game again in a couple of years. Wouldn't shock me.
All right, comrade, who you got, bud?
I'm going with Louisville. I think there's a better team. I think Virginia, obviously have a good coach, but I think they've lost a lot. And again, I'm high on Louisville. I mean, I mentioned a couple weeks ago in the podcast, you guys laughed at me, and I said I have above UNC, and I do, and I think they're gonna surprise some folks. So I'm taking Louisville to take care of Virginia.
All right, so the next game we've got is Wake Forest. This game is at home. Last year, these two hooked up. Final score was 62-59. There was absolutely no fucking defense played whatsoever. I think Wake Forest pulls the upset, though. I'm going to take the Demon Deacons to get the win here because they're going to score regardless because Louisville defense is going to be shit. So give me Wake Forest to get the win there over Louisville. Kale, what you got?
Yeah, I think that Louisville is just a little bit better team than Wake Forest. Losing that quarterback, Jamie Newman, is going to hurt them a little bit. They do return a couple of good receivers. They'll score a lot of points again between the two of them. But being that this is a home game, and like I say, I don't know how much of an advantage we'll get from a home game. But I think Louisville takes the win there against Wake Forest. Give me the Vill to win that one.
Mike, you've got the Vill here, right?
I'm going to take the Vill, but I kind of – that Wake Forest pick, man, you know,
it's not far-fetched and stupid. It's not like –
This is kind of one of my games. You know, coming through the whole schedule yesterday in preparation for the night, I prep for the show. I'm a professional. And I'm trying to pick out losses. And this is the game – the Clemson game obviously comes up. But, you know, the FSU game I tagged – this other game I tagged too, and I went back and forth, but I'll take Louisville. But I think it's going to be a game that they're going to kind of have to pull out, you know, at the end there. But I'll take Louisville to hold on for the win.
All right. So the next game on the schedule, they head to South Bend to play Notre Dame. I like them to beat Notre Dame. I don't think Notre Dame is really that good. I really don't. You know, normally I try to talk up the opponents that Clemson's got this year. If Clemson doesn't go 12-0, there's something wrong. I'm serious, because the schedule is absolute shit. I have to be completely honest. There is no one on that schedule that Clemson should be should get within 14 points of Clemson, regardless. And I don't think that Notre Dame is that good. So give me Louisville to get the win on the road. Kale, what you got, man? Notre Dame or Louisville? It's okay to pick against the Catholics, Kale. It's all right.
You know, here's my thing. I think that do this for me. You know, we always, you know, we look at skill position players. I can name. Without looking, I can name one person on Notre Dame's roster. One person, Ian Book.
Yep.
You name somebody else? 3, 2, 1. Yeah.
Nope.
You can't. They're not. There's no one there of any substance this year, as far as skill positions go. It is on the road at Notre Dame. They do play Clemson a couple of weeks before this, and I think the Taters take a win there. And then Notre Dame's got that game at Georgia Tech kind of sandwiched in between this. So this theory of mine of letting a team beat you twice really doesn't play in effect there. But what we can say that it plays in effect just for the purposes of this video. You can't let the Taters beat you twice. And I think Notre Dame could let the Taters beat them twice, and then them not being up for this game. They do this. You watch them every year, and it's usually against one of these ACC teams. Last year it was Virginia Tech. A couple of years before that was Pittsburgh. They play like garbage at home against one of these ACC schools, and they barely eke one out. I think they do the same thing here this year, and I think they get beat, because last year, if you'll remember, Louisville opened up with them at home, and man, in that first half, I was like, I even did a video about it on Carolina Jackpot, like a little 3-minute little snippet video. I was like, where the hell has this team been? I don't recognize them. You don't recognize them, because they had the lead there in the first half, and they proved that they could play with Notre Dame. Now, Notre Dame, obviously the depth and the talent kind of took over in the second half, and they kind of bullied them around a little bit. But that depth and talent in those skill positions is not there this year. I think that Louisville takes a win here. Give me the upset pick with the Cardinals as well.
All right. Comrade, are you going to make it a trio, or are you taking Notre Dame?
Notre Dame is not great, and I agree with that too. I do think Brian Kelly is underrated as it gets the coach. And I think it's one of the rare games that Louisville – we'll be going over the coaching staff and a coach who may be better than they have. So, talent-wise, I think Louisville's better, not by a whole lot. If they're better coaching staff-wise, I think they pull out the win and beat Louisville here.
Final game of the season is against their rival with Kentucky. And Comrade, you took the Louisville as well, right? Looking over Notre Dame, so. That's interesting. All three of us.
I'm taking ND of Notre Dame. I'm sorry. I'm taking ND of Louisville.
Okay, so you got Louisville taking a loss there. Final game of the season is against Kentucky. Kentucky is going to run the ball and run the ball and run the ball, and that's not what you want when you're Louisville. So I think Louisville is going to lose that game to Kentucky. So give me the Wildcats to pick up the win. Kale, are you going with the SEC team here, or are you going to go with Louisville?
Well, you know, Kentucky can run the ball all they want. The fact of the matter is, Louisville's going to be ready for it. Last year was absolutely embarrassing that they lost by four scores on the road at Kentucky, and that's supposed to be the rivalry game. And then both teams made a bowl. I mean, it's not like, you know, Kentucky went to the Sugar Bowl and Louisville goes to the Independence Bowl. Louisville ended up in, like, the Liberty Bowl or something, and Kentucky was in the Belt Bowl. I mean, they were essentially even teams, but they actually just absolutely got blown out. They got to get that Kentucky monkey off their back. There's a revenge factor here. Louisville hasn't played particularly well against Kentucky. Even a few years ago, the Lamar Jackson Heisman Trophy year, if you'll remember, Louisville had won like nine games, and they went in there and lost to Kentucky, who was having a shitty season. So they haven't played well traditionally against them. Scott Satterfield has got to reverse that trend if he wants to take them to the next level, and I think he does this year. I think they get the big win at home in the Commonwealth Cup. Give me the red team, Louisville Cardinals, to take the win over the Kentucky Wildcats.
The Wildcats. All right, so Comrade, I'm sure, is taking Louisville here because even though his team has lost five out of the last six to Kentucky, he still thinks Kentucky is a shit program.
Even though we made them look like a bunch of bitches last year, but,
they didn't have their quarterback. Kale, stop it. You guys, if
they didn't have a quarterback at all, doesn't matter.
If the wide receiver they have would have went in there, he would have ran roughshod over you fools.
That's ifs, buts, and cup nuts. We're beating them 24-7. Should have beat them 24-0. He wasn't worth that many goddamn points. Get your head out of your ass.
Hold on just a second now, because I think I can go back to the Carolina Jackpot channel during that game. And once that game was over, you said if Bowden would have played, that they would have won. You weren't high on your team last year. Stop with that nonsense. If Bowden would have played, they would have whipped y'all's ass. Y'all aren't a good team, Kale.
I never said that. He did play. So. He played.
He didn't start.
He played.
He
played wide receiver in that game. He played wide receiver in that game. It's not our fault that quarterback was shitty and couldn't get him the ball. We sacked his ass like four times and forced him into a couple of interceptions.
Okay, Kale. They can
kind of thank us for ending up having a decent season because we made them look so horrible that they had their suits decided, hey, we got to make a change here somewhere.
Yeah,
and that's what they did. And after that game, they started improving. You know?
Well, that was the key, is that they made the right start at quarterback. Are you telling me that if Bowden would have played a quarterback, that you guys would have won? Do you really believe that?
Yeah.
Fuck out of here.
Yes.
Shit.
Fucking Tennessee beat them. What the thing?
Tennessee beat your ass, too. What's your point?
Yeah, I know. They rode a punt return for a touchdown to upset
Bowden. They beat your ass. Sorry.
I know that. Whoop-a-dee-doo.
Kale's going to be fun this football season because I think he thinks his team is worth a shit, and they're not. And like, when they go 5-7 or 4-8.
Everybody's undefeated in fucking until the damn balls get tossed, sir.
That's right, damn it. That's right.
Fuck out of here with all that shit.
By the way, Rob, I don't know if you've been keeping up with it lately. I haven't because his uploading had been somewhat sporadic. of late. But I think it wasn't the last episode he uploaded, maybe the one before that, of the Zach Smith podcast, the Minister Sports, as he's calling it now.
Yeah.
He absolutely crucified Dabo on there. It was funny as hell. You'll have to go back and listen to that.
It's kind of hard for me to listen to that guy when, I mean, and you guys are taking his word when he had sex toys delivered to his office. So that shows how what you guys think in general. But, comrade, are you taking Kentucky or are you taking Louisville?
I'm taking Louisville. I think Louisville is better this year than they were last year. I think Kentucky is worse. I think that horrible game last year, I can't imagine Louisville coming out and playing that way again this year. Revenge on their mind. I think they'll take it to Kentucky, and they may reverse it. They may destroy Kentucky this year. The reversal coming in there. So take Louisville.
Take Louisville. There you go.
There's nothing wrong with him having his sex toy packages delivered to his office. He didn't want them delivered to his house. He didn't want somebody to steal them. As you know, like old Dabo says in the Blue Ridge Security commercial during Christmas time on WCCP, during this time of the year, a stack of boxes on your front porch can be quite a temptation to go with Blue Ridge Security.
That's right. Take it from Dabo.
I just love the fact that you guys are supporting Zach Smith, for God's sake. Fucking really? Okay. Really? Get the fuck out of here, guys.
He still knows what he's talking about, regardless of who you think he's.
Yeah, but he's a
kind of a
head.
Shady.
God damn.
He's all right.
All right, so make sure that I've got the proper record here for Comrade. You've got losses to Clemson, Florida State, Notre Dame. Yeah, so you got them at 9-3, right?
That's correct.
Kale. You've got them with losses to Clemson. Who else to see here? What else did Kale have? Boston College. And that's it. So you have them at 10-2, Kale. Is that right? Am I looking at my numbers right here? I think that's right.
I have them losing to Boston College, Clemson,
Virginia Tech. That's right. So Kale also has them at 9-3.
That's 9-3.
Yeah, there you go. My bad. Let's make sure I got it right here. And I have them losing to Wake Forest, Kentucky. That's 2. Clemson would be 3. So I've got them at 9-3. So this is kind of funny because last week we all had Tennessee going 7-5. And then we all three picked Louisville to go 9-3. So there you go. There's that. Any final?
I don't know, man. Nine wins for them. Nine wins might be a stretch there for them. They may lose another game to the schedule somewhere. I just don't know. Nine wins does seem kind of high for them. But if you look at it on paper, it's possible.
It's very possible.
Well, so, the Notre Dame game is something I'm just kind of throwing out there as a possibility. You know, I mean, it's very possible they lose that game.
They
I just think that it's time for Notre Dame to lose to one of these ACC teams that they don't play well against. It's time. I mean, you keep on playing with fire,
right?
You're going to get burned eventually.
I think that. I mean, if you remember, Vanderbilt went up there to Notre Dame and they almost came out with a win. I mean, and you know, I'm just saying. I think that it's a very realistic thing that with Louisville playing Notre Dame, I think they can go up there and get the win. And by the way, for later on, the toughest game on the schedule for Clemson this year is probably going to be Louisville. I don't think Notre Dame is going to be – I honestly don't think Notre Dame is going to be worth a shit, period. Right. Would not surprise me.
Look, I keep getting these comments on from YouTube, and I haven't addressed them yet. But there's one after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other. It's like you got them – trigger finger, and you won't shut up. It's Noah Sheldon 500. Just admit this. Gamecocks suck. Blah, blah, blah. Muschamp sucks. Blah, blah, blah. Just admit South Carolina has always been a historically bad college football program. Yeah, you got to put historically bad in there, right? Because we beat your team's fucking ass last year. So put that in your damn pipe and smoke it, Noah.
Who's Noah's team? Is he a Georgia fan?
He's
Falcon Georgia fan.
He's a hedger. He's a hedge eater. Actually, next, my bad. We're the hedge eaters.
Yeah, we're the hedge eaters.
Yeah.
Goddamn. No. Georgia shouldn't say shit to South Carolina, period. I mean, you fucking went in there and lost. You lost at fucking home. I mean, how the fuck?
They've lost 5 out of 10 to South Carolina.
The freshman quarterback was hurt, and then Joyner came in and was hurt. Both our quarterbacks basically could not even run. Limping around.
Let's be completely honest. I'll say something good about South Carolina here. You won that game because of your fucking secondary. That's why you won game. I mean, it had nothing to do with your offense. Your offense.
Yeah, that and the fact that the quote unquote, if you listen to Uncle Lou, best field goal kicker of all time, Rodrigo Blankenship, just forgot how to put one through the uprights that day.
Maybe if your fan base wasn't so racist, Justin Fields would be that quarterback and he would have destroyed us.
But that's a very valid thing. You know, Georgia fans don't like talking about that, but I mean, they could still have Justin Fields, a preseason Heisman Trophy candidate, and they could have him if they could have kept their racist-ass baseball team from hurling insults at him on the damn field. So, I mean, Georgia's got problems in addition to their damn Kirby Smart not winning any fucking thing. He's, you know what?
I think that was.
Go ahead.
That happened like the first game of the season, though. Allegedly, whenever they yelled that stuff at him, the baseball players did or whatever. I don't know how bad he was offended by that at the time. I would probably have just packed up and left then. But he just took it out and play all year. I think the real reason transferred is because he knew that Kirby Smart wasn't going to fucking utilize him, man. He wasn't going to utilize him the right way. And what did they do with him that year? Right. I mean, nothing. I mean, he looked lost. And he knew Jack Frohm wasn't worth his shit. I mean, Justin Fields could see that. He could see right through that guy. That guy sucked. And he wasn't getting his opportunity. He wasn't getting his push.
You're right. His push.
That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, Conrad. It's all about, Conrad. The goddamn push.
Gotta get your goddamn push. By the way, I didn't bring up the racial thing first. That would be the comrade who brought that up first. You shouldn't be so insecure. I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to SEC Dog over here, who says, Rob bringing up the racial card. It actually happened. You know what? Make it better. I got nothing for you. That actually happened. I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to SEC Dog.
I know what I'm saying.
It actually happened. Okay? So you can't deny that it happened. It actually fucking happened.
Noah says, who needs Fields when we have Jamie Newman? if you think Jamie Newman is going to put the kind of numbers up this year that Justin Fields put up last year, interception and touchdown ratio-wise and all that, you're fucking drunk.
Yeah, I wanted to put that comment up here for folks to see that because it shows how delusional the Georgia fan base is. You're talking about
than a box of
if
hammers.
If he weren't playing for Georgia, you would be calling him, just some fucking idiot that plays at Wake Forest, an ACC school. That's what you would be doing. So stop with that nonsense. I think Jamie Newman's a good quarterback, but once again, I don't think your offense is going to work with him. And it'll be like Justin Fields there. Justin Fields couldn't figure out they couldn't figure out how to use Justin Fields because you guys want to use fucking this pro-style system. It's not what Jamie Newman does. He makes plays with his fucking feet. And you guys think Jamie Newman's going to be awesome? You're going to have to change your entire fucking offense. I'll tell you what. I hope that guys like Noah and SEC Dog and all these guys stay here when Georgia comes out and they go like 9-3 or something like that. And he says, that's all I've got, Rob. No, I can give you more. You have fucking every goddamn recruiting trophy, winning the recruiting whatever for the past 4 years. How many national titles do you got? Zero. That's what happens when you're a shit program. You're not the blue blood. Fuck out of here with all that nonsense. It's fucking ridiculous. Can't beat fucking South Carolina. South Carolina was a shit show last year. They had 4 fucking wins, and one of them was in your goddamn shithole stadium. You let them fucking take hedges from your stadium and chew on them like a goddamn bunch of mint. You're coming here and tell me, oh, we're a better program than South Carolina and all that shit. Couldn't fucking beat them on the field. Couldn't beat them on the field. You got beat by Will Muschamp. Fuck out of here with all that nonsense. You let Will Muschamp come into your stadium and beat you. Shut the hell up with all that, stupid Georgia fans. Dust off that Herschel Walker jersey.
He knows the place. He knows the place. He used to roam. He used to roam that defensive backfield back in the early 90s. He knows the lay of the land.
Here we go.
Playing for old Ray Goff.
Yep. And, of course, they come with the comments. Clemson wasn't anything before 2015. That's fine. Since 2015, Clemson has two national titles. How many national titles does Georgia have since 2015? How many? Can you help me with that, Kale? How many does Georgia have since 2015? I mean, assuredly, with these guys coming on here talking about they're the best fucking thing ever, they should have at least one national championship, right? Since 2015. Clemson's a gong show, but we won two national titles.
Two a year.
Yeah, and let's make sure we understand this, too. You guys go ahead and pack this away, because I'm calling it right now. Clemson plays you guys at the start of the season in Charlotte next year. We're going to ruin your fucking season before Labor Day. Write that shit down. We're going to beat your fucking ass. You guys are a fucking joke. Yeah. Fucking Georgia fans.
DJ ukulele. Gonna play you.
I'll take us beating them with fucking Cale Hall as our quarterback, wearing a Gamecock jersey. That's all Georgia's a fucking joke, man. Stop with all that nonsense.
It's gonna be so bad in the second half, they're gonna let Tyson Chamath come out there and run around Bank of America Stadium.
That's funny. That is funny with that. You know, by the way, let's make sure that what was the other thing that I was gonna say about George? It slipped my head. But yeah, they're gonna be fucking pissed off when Florida beats that ass this year. They're gonna be pissed off. And I wish South Carolina was worth a fuck so you guys could beat them. But that'd be funny as shit if you beat them 2 years in a row.
Oh, don't worry.
Don't worry, I don't agree with all that shit. But it'd be funny as fuck. It really would. Y'all need to stop with all that nonsense, though. Oh, Clemson wasn't anything since 2015, but you ain't been shit since 1980. God damn. Fuck, man.
God damn.
How is it that I'm delusional? How is it that I'm delusional, Noah? Tell me, how is it that I'm delusional? Okay, let's break it down for you. You won the national title in 1980, and you've been a fucking gong show since then. Yes, you've won the games here and there, and you beat Clemson with some of those teams. That's fine. But as of right now, Clemson's a better program than you are. Put that in your fucking pipe and smoke it. That's an absolute fact. Two national titles since 2015. You motherfuckers can barely win the goddamn division. Fuck out of here with all that nonsense. Losing to South Carolina and running your mouth. You motherfuckers are crazy. Throwing rocks at the damn throne. Look at me, we're Georgia. We can't beat South Carolina, but we can run our mouth about Clemson. Y'all ain't fucking shit. Fucking shit. I think Kentucky's gonna beat your fucking ass this year. Write that down too. Y'all ain't worth a fuck. Remember that. Anyway.
Yeah, they said meet us at Kroger Field.
Alright, I tell you what, we're gonna take calls Georgia for a second fans here. Georgia fans are hilarious. Let me see if we can I'm gonna open up the phone lines and let some people take some calls here. Take a call before we get out of here this evening. Let me get that set up here. Let me give the numbers here. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
I don't know what's up with my internet, but I keep on popping in and out. But don't worry, I won't be gone if I leave. So.
All right. Curse jar's full. Thank you, P Digits. I'll try not to curse for you. How's that sound? Let's see here. If you want to call into the show tonight, the number will be scrolling along the bottom here. By the way, you are welcome to call during the week. You can leave voicemails and, you know, there you go. I must have pissed somebody off. There's our first setup here. Let's see what we got. Caller, welcome to the show.
Hey, good evening, Jim. This is Texas A&M fan.
Oh, well, this guy's a – hey, Texas A&M might beat – you play Georgia this year? You might whip their ass.
We would have beat them last year, but they screwed us out of a call. They screwed us out. That's why we need new refs in the SEC. They had 250 yards, and 50 of that was on one play.
Yeah.
They got the best defense in the fucking universe, and we held them to 200 yards, our defense, our poorly little elite defense. Anyway,
there you go. Hold on just a second.
I got a couple things to run past you guys.
One second. There you go, Georgia fans. That's not me saying that. That's a guy from fucking Texas A&M. His coach likes strippers, married a fucking stripper, and he thinks that y'all are a shit show. Carry on, sir. Carry on.
Hey, listen, we got Jimbo Fisher on a tight lease over here at A&M.
Okay.
he's got 6 years to produce a SEC championship.
Cool.
And he's only been there two.
Yeah.
We're giving him two more years to get a blue chip, I can't even say the word, blue chip team. And then we're going to give him 2 years with a developed team to see what he can do.
All right, brother. Well, hey, man, I appreciate you calling in this evening. Once again, thanks for listening to us out in Texas.
Hey, listen, I got one for Kel.
Sure.
Hey, listen, I was thinking about the coaching situation there, and I've got a recommendation.
Yeah, what you got?
I think that South Carolina ought to hire Terry Bowden.
TV.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for the call, Texas A&M fan.
Is he still alive?
Yeah.
I
hate to cut the call off there. Sorry about that. But, yeah, that's pretty funny.
That was a troll.
He's not a troll. He calls every week.
I know that was a troll, though. Terry Bowden got fired from Akron, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
The Zips?
Yeah.
If you get fired
from the Zips, I think your career is pretty much done.
Yeah, there you go. Anybody else want to call in? We'll take your call this evening. There's the phone number, 803-470-2905. You can call during the week, leave your voicemail. Noah thinks that I'm trolling. You know what, Mike? I've been doing a show with you for a long fucking time. Do I troll when I say what I'm talking about, Georgia?
No.
I'm telling you what I absolutely think. I am not trolling you, okay? If I were trolling you, I'd say you'd lose to Murray State. That's trolling. But as far as being a fucking decent program, you're not fucking decent. Shut the hell up. Texas A&M should have beat your ass last year. He's right about that. Stop with all the nonsense. We're going to do about 5 more minutes here with calls, and we'll wrap the show up. It don't take much to get a Tater fan triggered. Brother, you couldn't trigger me on your fucking worst day. You really couldn't. You really, really couldn't. So let's stop with all that fucking nonsense. Shit. Anyway, the number to dial, 803-470-2905, 803-470-2905. If you want to take a minute to call into the show, you can also leave voicemails throughout the week. We appreciate the folks that do that. And
you want to say that number a little faster?
Yeah,
803-470-2905.
Brother, I read car ads all the time, man. 803-470-2905. 803-470-2905. I don't have a hatred for Georgia. I have a hatred for Georgia. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fact that their fans think that they're fucking awesome and they're not. Just be real with who you are. If I sat down with Kale, he would tell me he doesn't think South Carolina's very good because he's honest. You motherfuckers from Georgia think that you're like that college football was like Moses started college football there at Georgia. That's not true. You're not that valid, man. You're just not. Shit, I wouldn't ask the comrade though, because he would lie his ass off about Will Muschamp being great. And the sad thing is he believes that. He really believes that. That's the crazy thing.
It's just a diamond in the rough is what he is.
Well, yeah. What they say, believe what you say.
Diamond in the rough.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I think that's a good place to wrap up the show. Gentlemen, I appreciate you doing the show this evening. Wednesday, what team are we previewing Wednesday? Kale, what team would you like to preview Wednesday? Let's do an SEC team.
Well, since it's such a big topic of conversation, why don't we just piggyback off of all of tonight's fuckery, off tonight's football field fuckery, and go with the Georgia Bulldogs.
Sounds good.
So Wednesday, we will preview the Georgia football team for the upcoming season. All right, so looking forward to that. And with that, the show is a wrap.